Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by the maestro, Mr. Vin Forte.
Oh boy, what an intro. Yeah, hello.
Vin, you might know Vin as the co-host of Wrestle Rap, as the host of Oddball with Vin Forte. Mm-hmm. And Vin also didn't get a nomination for Best International Picture, just like Godzilla Minus One. And it's a theft, I say, a robbery.
Between that and Barbie not getting anything.
Fucking bullshit. I mean, how does Greta Gerwig? I've talked about this a million times on the show, and longtime listeners know I have no respect for the Oscars. I think the Oscars have now and always will suck. And the proof is very much in the pudding. Just go back and look at who won throughout the history of movies, and you'll be like, I don't know what half this shit is. And then you'll be like, where are the things that I know? Where's E.T.? Where's fucking any Hitchcock movie?
Yeah, why isn't E.T. nominated every year?
Oh, Hitchcock never was nominated in any of the fucking years he made movies? That doesn't seem correct.
But then, like, right before they die, they'll give we'll give you the Lifetime Achievement Oscar. It's like, great, right. You didn't fucking care for me for 50 right. years. Now all of a sudden you give me an Oscar.
Which feels a little bit like the Killers of the Flower Moon nomination. Now, I haven't seen it. I don't know. It might be a masterpiece. But The Irishman was not a masterpiece. And, you know, Scorsese's old. He's really freaking old now. So this feels like, let's give him one. Although I think he's had them before. But it feels like, we got to give it to Scorsese.
Well, isn't it like did he not win for Goodfellas? And then, like, when he got The Departed one, people were like, this is sort of like a make good for Goodfellas.
I'm going to look it up now. I believe I do remember The Departed one. Scorsese Oscars. He won 2007 for The Departed. Let's see. Was that the only win he ever had? He's had a lot of nominations. Yeah. The Departed is the only win he ever had. So he was nominated. I'm sorry. He was nominated for... Hugo was nominated for Best Picture in 2012. What?
That's unfortunate.
How do you not win for Goodfellas or Raging Bull?
Well, that's the thing. Like, those are the ones that you look back on. Like, if he died tomorrow, God forbid, people would be like, oh, yeah, Goodfellas.
Right. I see in 2020 he was nominated. No, not him, but The Irishman was nominated for Best Picture. Why? How? No.
No, I don't like it. And even, like... Not that the Oscars were ever, like, great in terms of, like, the ceremony of it.
No, it's not a very good show.
And then, like, this year, I guess they've been doing this the past couple of years, where it's, like, they don't have one host. It's, like, a rotating cadre of, right. like, comedians. And, like, everyone got on Joe Coy, and I'm like, I didn't even know Joe Coy was one of the hosts. And I was like, what a weird comedian to be hosting the Oscars. Like, I never would. If you gave me a million guesses.
Yeah.
On what comedian was hosting the Oscars.
Did you see him at the Golden Globes? The top of the
list. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the Golden Globes. Or maybe he was at both. But like,
I don't know. Yeah, he hosted the Golden Globes and he just bombed. If you want to see a guy bomb, he bombed and then started to get nasty and like threw the writers under the bus, which was really not cool.
That's not what you just throw the actors under the bus. Like, that's what you do.
Right. He was like, you know, look, it's a very hard job. I feel like Billy Crystal's maybe the only person who ever did it well. Although Johnny Carson hosted the Oscars for like 20 years, but I don't even know if they were fucking broadcast at that time. It could have been just like a fucking gentleman's club fucking thing. You know what I mean? Who knows what Johnny was up to?
No, I think they were definitely broadcast, but like
maybe on radio?
No, because like I feel like I've seen clips of people accepting awards from like the early Oscar, but
it was definitely
still...
early Oscar. There's like I mean you can find shit from the 70s and stuff, but like going back to the 50s, I don't feel like I've seen.
Oh well, maybe not if we're talking 50s and 60s, maybe not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway. The Oscars is such a thankless. It's like doing the what do you call it? Like the president, the media row, whatever that's called. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name of it.
Press
White House correspondent. The White House correspondent.
Oh yeah,
like that's where that famous like go look up the famous like Lewis Black stand up routine on that where he did it 1 year and it's like it's so thankless because you're there to roast people who know that they should be roasted,
right?
Like these aren't nice people, But you also have to like put on the air of like, hey, we're all here and having fun together. Like it's a very weird crowd. And I think like it's very similar with the Oscar crowd
Yeah.
or the Golden Globe crowd, where unless you're gonna be Ricky Gervais
Fuck
and
him.
just like, I know, fuck him, but like he does have the right idea. Like if you're gonna go into that room, like yeah, you make fun of the actors. Like there
I
was
feel like
like
it's.
the one clip I did see
Yeah.
was Joe Coy made a joke about Taylor Swift. And the camera cut to her, and whether she intended it to or not, it made it look like she was kind of like, not funny, Mr. Comedian. And I feel like when they cut back to him, he should have been like, oh, well, fuck you, who are you? Like, but instead, he kind of just like stammered, he kind of like got nervous and stammered into the next joke. And it's like, that's a moment where you go after her for that.
The material was really bad. He was like Barbie. He had some boobies joke about Barbie, and everyone was
Ooh.
like, "Oh boy, who's for? Who is
Ooh,
your
boy.
5-year-old nephew writing this material?"
Yeah, is Bruce Valanche still writing the Oscars?
Oh, Bruce Valanche. Anyway, this is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. This is a fully episode, a full throttle, fully engorged episode where
Oh,
we're going to
boy.
talk about the news, trailers. The chill sesh and our current obsessions. Van, it's so great to have you here. Are you ready to go over to our news desk?
Oh yeah, let's go over to Drew's news.
Let's go. I'm gonna get the ticker tape now. Come on. Okay, so let's see our first story. You think I would have like I knew I was setting it up. You think I would have been like clicking on the link? No, not a professional. This is from NPR. But this has been all over. Jon Stewart will return to The Daily Show as a weekly guest host.
Yeah,
As you
I don't
know,
like this.
okay, good. I want to hear your take, but let me just set up first. As since Trevor Noah, the previous host, left, they've been doing guest hosts for, a week here, a week there. There were some interesting people, some interesting choices, but now Jon Stewart is going to come and he's going to be the host on Monday nights. And I'm not sure who, like, how long it's going to go for. You say
Well,
you
they
don't think
said
it's
it's
a.
gonna. Well, they said it's going to last through the election season,
Okay.
and it's going to be him on Monday nights, and then the correspondents rotating hosting throughout the rest of the week. And I don't
Tell us your thoughts, sir.
one I'm not a, I'm never a fan of someone leaves a job on TV and then years removed from it they come back. I'm just not a fan of that. Whether it's Larry King or Jay Leno, like just. You're
Okay.
gone, stay gone, do something else. Because when you come back, one, it's very hard to add to that legacy when you come back. You can
Right.
almost only hurt it.
Yes, that's true.
And this idea on Comedy Central's part that like, oh, we're gonna get that Jon Stewart shine. It's like, well, you're not bringing him back all week. Like he's not gonna, you're not hiring him to do 10 more years of The Daily Show. Like you're
Right.
hiring him for this assumedly like next year to
Right.
do it once a week, and then the rest of the week like nobody's really going to care, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know
And
what will happen. Yeah.
it just feels like this weird half measure where it's like I don't care, like give me someone new. Like they should have given it to Roy Wood Jr., if I'm being completely honest. Like they should have given it to him, or they should have I don't know, maybe they did and we haven't heard about it, but they should have re-asked Hasan Minhaj after the allegations against him turned out to be false,
Yeah.
about like
I
his
don't know.
joke stealing or whatever. But like they should
Oh,
have come
joke
up with
stealing?
something. No, there was that thing where he like there was a report where someone claimed that like oh he threw in false facts about stories that he told on
Oh.
stage. But like again, you're not even like really going back to put something concrete in there. It's like, hey, we're going back and we're going to give you a little taste of Jon Stewart every week.
Well, let me ask you, did you like the Trevor Noah years?
I think they were a mixed bag. I think Trevor Noah did not have the sort of combative bite that Jon Stewart could have with
Yeah.
guests that he didn't like. Like, you
Right, he
never
was.
really saw Trevor Noah going after like Paul Begala or Jim Cramer in the same way that Jon Stewart did. Like, in fact, Trevor Noah famously, if there's any one guest he's remembered, it's when he had Tommy Lahren on.
He was a
And
little
basically,
hard on her. He was a
he was a
little
little
hard
hard
on
on
her.
her, but like he kind of treated her with kid gloves and kind of did that whole like, well, we need to be respect each other and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know. I feel like he should have just like eviscerated her. Like, I feel like someone else would have eviscerated her and shown her to be the big fucking dummy that she is.
I was not a fan really of that time. Maybe I was just too much of a Jon Stewart fan and love, and I felt like I loved the version of the show that he had. So when it became something else, it just felt like it just wasn't like the Coca-Cola that I was used to drinking. So I liked him and I like him as a comedian, but I just sort of faded out of it. Like I wasn't like, I'm done with this. I just kind of like stopped tuning in, I guess. And
Well, I think the other thing that happened during Trevor Noah's tenure was it was almost exclusively dominated by Trump. So you
right.
had what a lot of other talk shows fell into, which was, and again, like I
A
hate
Trump
to.
addiction.
Yeah, like I hate to sound like a fucking conservative about this, but I think there is this like comedy schism going on the left where there's establishment comedians that think, oh, well, y'all, we have to make fun of Trump. He's always in the news, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the, I would say people who are farther to the left, like myself, look at that kind of stuff and go, okay, like, yeah, we get it. Orange man bad, but like,
Right.
there's a lot more going on in the world. Like,
If
there's
it,
a reason
right.
that the only Jon Stewart protege that has had any real, like, comparative success is John Oliver. Because you watch John Oliver, and yeah, they'll talk
Yeah.
about Trump every once in a while, but like every week he's at a new topic that, like,
Yeah.
half the people watching didn't even know was a thing.
Right. No, well, yeah, I think John Oliver now is like the best, but it's easy to it's nothing about it's easy, but it is, he'll even admit it's a little easier that it's once a week.
Right.
It's a hard show to
Maybe the
do.
Daily Show just needs to,
Go
I mean,
away.
it wouldn't be the Daily Show anymore, but like maybe it should just go away. Maybe it just ran its course and
Yeah.
now like is a little outmoded. And they could still find a political show to do on Comedy Central,
Yeah.
but like maybe, I don't know, like does it get the ratings? Does it get like that's another
Well, I don't
question. Like
know. I don't know.
is it worth
Yeah.
saving?
I agree with all your points, but at the same time, I'm gonna watch because I like Jon Stewart on that show. And I think, and maybe he's learned this, that was his role. I feel like he hasn't had a great amount of success with whatever else he was doing. He was doing like some web series or something. The problem with Jon Stewart, I don't know if it was good or bad. It didn't even like really make it onto my radar. And I feel like I want to see the guy do the thing again. So I'm going to tune in.
Well, then that begs the question, what are you going to get when you tune in? Are you going to get Jon Stewart in a suit, rolling back the clock and doing Jon Stewart's Daily Show? Or are you
Well,
going to get the
maybe.
problem with Jon Stewart version of Jon Stewart,
Well, I hope, no,
which
I
can
think you're going to
be.
get the Daily Show version because I think that's what they're paying for. I think for people who are really big Jon Stewart fans, which I was, although I don't think he's perfect, and I do think there's a lot of criticism you could give him, the
Yeah.
fact that he wasn't the host of the Daily Show during Trump's presidency felt like, damn, I wish he had been. Because he was so
I
great
think a lot of
during,
people feel that way.
yeah, and I think that's maybe why they're like, okay, let's get him back for this new election. But also, as much as I love him, like you said, I don't know if there's a lot of like takes on Trump to even do anymore.
Right, because at the end of the day, all the takes just boil down to like, can you believe this guy? Like, what are we gonna do about him?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're gonna vote, put up a better candidate than Biden.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, Biden looks like he's
That we're not, yeah. That we're
like
not
he's
gonna do.
a yeah, like that and
I mean,
I don't know.
I
I
mean, he's the
feel
incumbent. I mean, of course, you're always going to go with that. I think in American history, I think only once did a party not nominate, renominate the person who was the president. I think it was Franklin Pierce. He was the
can
president.
we get some fucking younger people in office? Like, I'm sorry to be ageist
Yeah.
about it, but like can we get people who like don't need to take a nap
Yeah.
time in the
But the
middle
thing is
of their
that
presidential duties every day?
the thing that bugs me is Trump and Biden are both super old, and people just act like Biden's old. And it's like, well, Biden just doesn't dye his hair. Like, they're both super old.
No, absolutely. Like they both shouldn't be on the ballot for different reasons.
All right, let's move on to the next story. Thank you, Vincent. This one came out today, and I gotta tell you, I'm very interested in it. I think it's a very fun idea. I'm reading this from Animation Magazine. Pharrell Williams' Lego Brick biopic, titled Piece by Piece, sets October release. Focus Features has partnered with Pharrell Williams, I Am Other, and the Lego Group to release Piece by Piece, an innovative retelling of Williams' life story rendered in Lego animation. Described as an unparalleled motion picture experience, capturing the multi-Grammy Award winner's unique vision, which defies genres and expectations to transport audiences into a Lego world where anything is possible. The film will open in theaters October 11th, 2024. This is
I mean, given that
awesome.
they're already, yeah, I feel like this is an interesting idea because I
I've been
feel like
saying, yeah, go on.
this is taking it really. It reminds me of it's the difference between doing Bohemian Rhapsody
Yeah.
and doing Rocket Man.
Yes,
And
I
I feel like
agree.
this is going to be Rocket Man,
I
where it's like, hey,
agree.
got an idea, we're going to do a biography of a musician's life, but we're going to have like some crazy angle to it. And you don't know what's going to happen. Like we could be talking about Pharrell's childhood, and then all of a sudden, like the Lego pieces all form together, and we're in a
Right.
castle, and we're doing some weird bullshit. Like this could be very interesting.
I agree with you totally. It's such a good idea for biopics. We're gonna look at a biopic trailer in the trailer corner, and I mean, I think it looks like a snooze. Biopics are so paint by numbers, but I also think this is a good move for Lego, because Lego, I mean, it seems like it's Lego's really all on board with this, and part of the branding. And you know, Lego did the Lego movie, then Lego 2, then Lego Batman, Lego Ninjago. You know, the Lego kind of like they did a lot of stuff, and they haven't done a movie in a little
They
bit.
I think they burned themselves out a little bit.
Yeah, but this is such a brilliant idea because this will turn Lego into like a genre. Like,
Right, you could do a whole line of Lego biographies.
it's such a clever idea. It's such a clever idea. It reminds me of Todd Haynes, before he was like he, you know, this
Oh, I know
he
where you're going with this.
right. He recently came out with what's the name of his new movie? The one with Julianne Moore. The one about the Letourneau case, like inspired by the Letourneau case.
Oh, I know you. I don't know the name of it. I know what you're
Is it
talking
May
about.
December?
Yeah, yes, May, December.
Okay. Yeah, he right early on, one of his first films was a biopic of Karen Carpenter using Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
And it was perfect because it dealt, you know, Karen Carpenter died sadly of complications from anorexia and bulimia. And to use a Barbie doll to play her and to have all of that cultural baggage of like what Barbie means in terms of gender and you know, looks, it was a brilliant thing. So it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, he also famously like didn't ask to use any of their music, so you really can't. I mean, I'm sure I think it's on YouTube, so you can watch it, but you
Well,
can't
I think
watch
he was a
the.
student at the time. Like it made a splash because it was so interesting, but he was like, I don't even know what it cost him, if anything.
I don't know either, but this is if we're talking about like creative ideas for movies, I have a topic
Yeah.
that I would like to, a news story that I would like to throw out there.
Yeah.
So. There's a movie that I learned about. I think we all learned about it last fall, and it seemed like it was one of those movies that was going to be w like thrown away as a tax write-off from Warner Discovery. Remember they had like Batgirl and they canned Batgirl. One of the movies they canned that I think we all learned about at the same time was Coyote versus Acme.
Yes, we've talked about it on the show.
Yeah,
I'm looking
and
forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it because. There was such an outcry over them canning it that they immediately like overturned it and were
Well,
like, "Oh yeah, like you can go find a different distributor for it."
people who have seen it have said, oh, they finally did it. They finally figured out a way to make a feature film that actually captures the true essence of Looney Tunes, which is something Space Jam never did. You know,
Right.
what makes the, I mean, Patrick H. Willems had a really good video essay about like what the Looney Tunes meant and who they were, and how the Looney Tunes you see now are like, they're nothing. They're empty visuals. Like, they're just there, you know. So I'm excited. I think it'd be really good. Yeah, I'm for that movie.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It seems like everyone involved is teasing, like, oh, it's going to be a good 2024. Like, the rumor is that I think, like, Amazon might pick it up. They might do a theater distribution as well, so you might be able to see it in a theater.
Yeah.
They only released one screenshot so far.
Yes.
I think, like, earlier, where it's, like, fucking... Basically, the whole plot is Wile E. Coyote is suing Acme because of all the Acme products that he's used over... Which is, like, brilliant. Like,
right, it really is.
Already on board. And... he hires a Saul Goodman-esque like lawyer played by Will Forte to represent him. And the whole thing takes place in Albuquerque because that's obviously, they always mention like, oh,
right.
Albuquerque in the cartoons. So it's like full of all these, not like John Cena has a huge role in it. Like that was the thing that struck people. Cause like when they announced it was getting canned,
right.
All people knew about it was, oh, they were making a what movie with John Cena?
And right. Right. Exactly.
Were shocked.
Right, right. It wasn't like Batgirl where people like knew about it. All right, let's move on to our last story. And this is a story you told me about. As you know, Vin is one of the hosts of Wrestle Rap, and so he's got his head in the world of wrestling. And I'm reading this from CNN Business. Vince McMahon accused of trafficking former WWE employee in new lawsuit. A former WWE staffer has accused the company's founder, Vince McMahon, of sexual assault, trafficking, and physical abuse in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The new disturbing allegations from Janelle Grant, who worked for WWE's headquarters, come more than a year after the conclusion of a WWE-appointed special committee investigation into McMahon's alleged misconduct while serving as the chairman and CEO of the company. McMahon retired from his role amid the investigation in July 2022, but has since returned as the chair of WWE's parent company. In the lawsuit filed in Connecticut District Court, Grant alleged McMahon promised a job and later promotions at WWE in exchange for sex. Grant's lawsuit also includes allegations that McMahon trafficked her to other men inside and outside of the company, including John Laurinaitis, okay, a former wrestler who worked with the company's talent relations department, who was also named as a defendant in the lawsuit. At the end of her employment, their sexual relationship In their situation, McMahon allegedly pressured Grant into signing a non-disclosure agreement in exchange for payments over several years totaling $3 million. Wow. Like, I guess we all know at this point that Vince McMahon is a true piece of shit. But this is this is a next level.
Well, the thing with this is that when people heard about this a year ago.
Oh, they did.
That he was paying off. Well, people had heard that, like, oh, yeah, he had paid off women. Which is still shitty, but like I think a lot of people, I think most people assumed it was like, for lack of a better way of putting it, because this is such a weird situation. This was not like your garden variety, like rich asshole was like having an affair and all his wife found out and he's paying off the women to like say nothing. Which I think people assumed it was that at first. But now, like this week, when people are reading the deep, there's like a 67-page deposition out.
Yeah,
that has all the details, and like it's fucking gross. Like it's really insane. Like again, like you mentioned, charges of sex trafficking. Like this is like real deal stuff. Like this is
like real, this is like Epstein level, like evil shit.
Yeah, and then there's like stuff about like, should we even get into it? Like
yeah, him, go for it.
Like him like defecating on her, and like while they're fucking multiple men, and like real insane stuff.
It's
you could go read it for yourself. Wild. It's all over. But like again, like I think this is crazy. Going to be one of those things that TKO, the parent company now, they're very quickly like trying to distance themselves from this and be like, listen, this happened like before we took ownership of the company. But it's like they had to have known something, at least like I assume.
Yeah.
But you know, a big corporation is going to be a big corporation. So they're going to, I think, try and clean this up very quickly and Vince McMahon is just going to have to deal with this. He's 78 years old. I don't know what happens from here. I don't know if there's going to be, because the thing with the NDA that could possibly happen is the reason she's trying to get out of the NDA is because, like you read there in the report, Vince said he was going to pay her $3 million, and he only paid her $1 million and then stopped payments. So they're hoping that because he stopped payments, that frees her up from the NDA.
Right.
And if that's the case, then how many more women are out there that didn't get the full payment that now would say, oh, well, I guess our NDAs are...
Right, know, right.
Precedent are,
and they,
are
yeah, and their defense of... And their defense, you know, his lawyers could might argue something like, oh, well, it's about money for her, and, you know, try to make her look bad. But if she exists at this level of, you know, corruption and grossness, there's got to be others, right? Like, something like this feels like a machine. Like, you don't do that once.
Right. And there's also, like, other people involved, apparently, you know, allegedly. So, like you said, like, this is definitely not the only time, allegedly, that he's, you know, paid women off.
What kind of
content he's willing to put on TV or has, right, you know, suggested to you at different points in his career. We know the WWE has had scandals throughout their history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, if someone put it in a very simple way on Twitter, where they were like, if even a quarter of these allegations are true, it's still the most horrific thing that has happened, yeah, like, in this company.
Can you tell me, what was the special committee investigation about a couple years ago? Like, what were the charges there?
The charges there were just, they were investigating him paying off women.
Oh, so it was similar.
It was similar, like whether he used, like, company funds, was it his own money, was he funneling money through the company to pay off these women? And that's why, like, a year or so ago, you might have heard that, like, oh, he left. He left WWE, stepped down. Right, and then right. He weaseled his way back in, and then the company, you know, and then he got the company sold to TKO, which now owns them, which now is the parent company that now owns WWE and the UFC.
Okay.
And all what's right. crazy is this is also overshadowing a week that included The Rock becoming a member of the like what board of trustees or whatever, like he like one of the head people in TKO, and them getting a $5 billion deal to move Monday Night Raw to Netflix next year.
Interesting. That's like, that crazy.
Like that was the big story for half the week until this came along.
Will it air like everything else airs on Netflix, or will it actually be like...
It'll air live.
Interesting. That's an interesting move for Netflix.
Interesting move for Netflix. And basically, because right now in America, Peacock has all the WWE pay-per-views and stuff like that. But like when that deal is over, that's probably going to go right to Netflix.
Do you see a future...
5 minutes time, that's where that's going to be.
Do you see a future of the wrestling entertainment as being like... Maybe this is like shaking off that old school. This is the last vestige of that old school promotion grossness. And like, it's in the future, it'll be a more inclusive, better place.
I don't know about inclusive, better place, but I will say as bigger corporations get their hands into the wrestling business, like with a TKO or like a Warner Discovery with AEW, they're going to have things in place to safeguard, you know, you'd like to say safeguard the employees first, but we all know the company and HR is there to protect the company, which, okay, as long as you're making sure that this kind of shit doesn't happen, I guess we're splitting hairs on that point. But you have to remember, WWE for the longest time, even though it was a publicly traded company, was still under the whim of just one man, Vince McMahon. Right.
Wild.
But now that it's under TKO, you could have a situation where something like what happened this week happens, and now they can all just be like, hopefully they're going to do the right thing and be like, yeah, he's gone. Like, we're taking him off. We're doing, you know,
yeah,
he's not going to have any, he doesn't really have any power right now anyway. He's more just a figurehead, like an Emirates figure, but like, we're going to make him like really go away.
Well, let's hope so. All right, let's get on to some nicer topics. Let's go on over to the trailer corner. Today we actually have, for our three trailers, one of them is a film, but two are video games. We looked at the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
See, this I like.
This
This
looks
was,
fun.
yeah, this looks really fun. Whatever they're doing with the movie, don't put a pause on the movies for a while. Let's do Indiana Jones video games.
Did you see that last movie?
I did not. It looked from the trailers, it looked fine.
It
I'm sure I'll
was
see it eventually, and I'm sure I'll think it's fine.
fine. That's, it was okay. It was like B minus C plus. Although it was, and I'm not trying to be ageist. It was depressing in a way. You know what I mean? Like you just feel, I don't know. And the story leads into the depression and leaned into, oh, he's too old. And it's like, okay, then don't do it. I don't know. Like it was a sad movie. It was really a bummer. Yeah, it was just, this looks way better than that last movie. It takes place, around the time of the original trilogy, and it's got Troy Baker, who's the voice of Joel in the Last of Us video games, doing Indiana Jones' voice, and I think he sounds pretty good. You could tell it's
Yeah.
not Harrison Ford, but he's got a little bit of the gravelly of Harrison Ford,
He's
like,
got right, like it doesn't have to be one to one, but like
yeah.
he's got an Indiana Jones down.
Yeah, and the gameplay itself kind of looks like the new Tomb Raider games, but you're Indiana Jones and you're whipping people in the face and shit. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, like I was always a big fan of the Indiana Jones LucasArts games. Now those were very different. Those were point and click adventures
Yeah.
on the PC. But like anytime you do an Indiana Jones game, like it's got that like adventurous swashbuckling,
Yeah.
like we're going on an adventure around the world to solve a big mystery. Like, and they even made one for N64 that was pretty good. Then they made one for the Wii that was not as good. And then they've kind of been silent for a while. And
Yeah.
now this is their first one in a good long while. And it looks like the visuals look great. It looks like a
Yeah.
million bucks. Like it looks like it's gonna be exactly what I'm looking for.
I was thinking if this works, just keep doing this. Like maybe this is the medium that the character now lives in.
Yeah,
Why
why
not?
not?
Right. But like what we don't need any more films. I mean they said that the last film was the last film, but the last three movies, The Last Crusade, Kingdom of the
Right, they
Crystal
said
Skull, and this were all like,
that.
this is the last one. So it's like,
And not only that, but Crystal Skull was also much like this last one, the one where he was like, "Ah, oh, I'm getting too old for this." Like, I'm. It's like, so now we did that again.
I prefer Crystal Skull to the Dial of Destiny. At least Crystal Skull is like fun and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. Like if it's a combination of like cool, weird puzzles and like stealth, like running around shooting people, I'm all for that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So we also looked at the trailer for Mario versus Donkey Kong. There's, there's with video games, you'll have a cinematic trailer, which is not really what's the game's gonna look like, but just a sort of announcement and kind of a, it's a cinematic trailer, so it's sort of a scene, and it kind of gives you a taste of what the game will be. And then there's the gameplay trailer, which will just show actual clips of what the game is like.
Yeah.
I don't know what if you looked at both, but I looked at both, and it looks interesting. The cinematic trailer is weird because he's like Donkey Kong is sitting on a couch watching TV, and he sees an advertisement for Mario wind-up toys. And he's like, oh, I gotta get a Mario wind-up toy. He doesn't speak, but he's excited about it. And he's surrounded by bananas, because that's how you do. And then he like tries to go out and buy a Mario toy and they don't have any, so then he sneaks into the
Yeah.
Mario toy. Like
Yeah,
what the
all that
why does he
trailer
like
was
Mario? I didn't get it.
they just redid the intro from the original version on Game Boy Advance.
Is that what it was?
Because this Mario vs. Donkey Kong game, this is a remake of the one they did for Game Boy Advance.
Oh, see, I've never played that one. Is this is it like a remake? Is it a scale up in terms of the way it looks, or is it just a new port? Because it looks
It's,
good.
I mean, I guess it looks good. It's definitely like a little bit of a scale up because obviously it's not on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
But, and then there's going to be, I think, like three extra worlds. So they're going to give you a
Okay.
little more. But basically, this was the continuation of, I'm pretty sure I've shown you before, maybe you even knew about it before. Back in the 90s for Game Boy, Nintendo made a game that was just called Donkey Kong. Now people refer to it as Donkey Kong 94, where you pop the cartridge in and you play the first, four levels of Donkey Kong that you know and love. And then after that fourth level, it turns into a completely different game where you're running around cities and jungles, and you're basically, it becomes like a puzzle platformer where you're
Interesting.
Mario and you're doing all the stuff that, like, kind of what you're seeing in the Mario vs. Donkey Kong trailer. And basically, the first Mario vs. Donkey Kong game on Game Boy Advance was like a sequel to that Donkey Kong game.
Interesting. Interesting.
So that's where that comes from.
I feel like Nintendo is really good at repackaging old stuff, but making you excited about it. Because I think they keep things at reasonable price points. So you kind of feel like you never feel like, oh, you're being fooled. You feel like, oh, I'm paying a little bit of money for something I know is going to be fun, and it's plentiful. There's so much stuff coming out there. Next week, you and I are talking about Mario Wonder. Mario Wonder's great. There's a Princess Peach game coming out, but then there's other games that are like remakes and stuff. So it's like there's always something kind of
Well,
happening.
they just released a couple months ago the Mario RPG remake.
Yes. Which is,
Did you
yeah.
play did you play that?
No, I didn't. I never played either version of it. I played a lot of the Paper Marios, which is a little it has some RPG flavor, but I've never played actual Mario RPG. Have you played it?
Oh yeah, I loved it when it came out. I haven't played the new one, but I love the original. If
Oh,
you
really?
like, if you're a fan of the Paper Mario game, like, you absolutely should go and play Mario RPG.
Really? Have you
Yeah,
played
it's
the
the
Mario and
same.
I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say it's basically like the same kind of mechanics.
Have you played the Mario and Rabbids game? Or both? There's two of them.
No, but I hear it's but I hear it's actually really fun.
Yeah, I was addicted to the second one for a while, like last year, or the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. It at first, like it's a turn-based game. So, if you don't know that and you're just turning it on, you think you're gonna get like, I don't know what, a Mario platformer or something, you might be disappointed, but it's easy to get into the game rhythm, and I found it addictive. I loved it. But that's what I love about Nintendo. That's what I love about Mario, is like he's so
He's so
I like,
versatile. They'll play with
yeah, and
anything.
there's no canon, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
Yeah.
Mario. He's in a fun land doing fun stuff. Come on, what's the problem?
Yeah, I like franchises like Mario where it's not canon unless we tell you it's canon, where it's like, oh, we introduced this weird new Luigi evil, like this evil Luigi.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll have him stick around, and then all of a sudden you wake up one day and Waluigi's like been here for 10 years.
Or like Rosalina, the like princess from Galaxy. She shows up a lot of places now. Who would have thunk? I'll play this game for sure. I'm sure it'll be, a reasonable price point. It does seem like it does have that platformer, but not Mario side scroller platformer vibe. It's got that Donkey Kong platformer vibe, which I'm into. I do have to say, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit next week when we talk about Wonder. As much as I love all of this stuff, and Mario's there, he's my friend, he's always there to have fun with me. I am anxiously waiting the next, Triple Crown big deal tent pole,
Yeah, give me Mario Odyssey too.
the successor to Odyssey, the next one of those. Because it has been a minute.
Yeah, in that time they just gave us a new Zelda.
Yes.
So Zelda's had two big tentpole games on the Switch. Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time you
Yeah.
give us a new Mario,
Yeah.
or
But you know,
we're gonna
yeah.
sit quietly and still wait.
But you know, the thing, and but they've given us a lot of Mario, but I don't ever feel sick of him. It's not like Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never like, more Mario. Let us go away so we can miss you. Like, I never
You know,
feel that
maybe
way about Mario.
because the stuff that's not AAA is very low stakes. It's like, oh, you
Yes.
want a Mario Tennis game? Like, okay, here. And you can kind of take it or leave it. Where it's like, hey, if you want a Mario Tennis game, it's probably going to be a really fun tennis game. But if you could care less about Mario Tennis, then it's like, hey, like, you absolutely do not need to play the Mario Tennis game.
Right, it's almost like you're not selling it on Mario. You're selling it on good gameplay, and hey, why not make the Avatar Mario? We all love Mario. Like, why not? Like, one of my favorite quote unquote Mario games is Dr. Mario, but it's barely a Mario game. It's just a Tetris like puzzle game.
Right, it could be Dr. Garfield, it could be anything.
All right, so the last trailer we looked at is Back to Black, which
Do we
is,
have to?
yeah, well, I don't want to shit on it too much. It's just a little boring to it's look, it's a trailer, it's a biopic of Amy Winehouse.
I don't think here's the what I think the dirty little secret with this is gonna be.
Tell me.
I don't think there's a whole lot of there.
Yeah.
Like, I think you hear the log line of like, oh yeah, she died young and she had a
Right.
drug problem and a controversial boyfriend or whatever. And you think, oh well, this is gonna be really good. But I bet when you actually watch it, it's just like, eh.
See, I'm not really into music. Can you tell me, like, what is her influence? Like, when people think of Amy Winehouse now, is like, how do they think of her? I mean, is like,
Honestly,
if
I'm
she
sure
hadn't
there's
died, would they have made this movie?
probably not. I mean, she had a tremendous voice that was,
Yeah.
but in terms of like influence, I'm sure if you ask, the right crowd, they'd be able to tell you, but I don't know if it's like as apparent as
Yeah.
the producers of this movie maybe would want you to think. And that's not a knock on her. I
Yeah.
think that just sometimes like producers get their it's more of an indictment of like people exploiting these young talents who die,
It's
where it's
also
like, oh,
just
we
like a
need to tell
genre that,
their
yeah.
yeah, it's a weird genre.
It's a genre that's super, super limited. I mean, we were just talking about it, and that's why it's so cool that Pharrell is doing the Lego biopic. Like, it's just like, what was it? Over 10 years ago, they made Walk Hard, which was a parody of Walk the Line, which really made fun of biopics. But that didn't stop them from making them. They've just kept making them.
Well, again, like what I just said about Back to Black, like the secret of a lot of these biopics is that the true story is actually never or very rarely ever that interesting. Like I remember having a conversation with someone where they said, oh, what if they did like a Kurt Cobain biopic? Like that's probably the next one up. And it's like, you know what? I'm sure they would try their hardest to make it interesting, but sometimes the true story is just, man was depressed and
Right,
then
there's
they
not,
killed
yeah,
himself.
right. Yeah, look, if you're a super big Amy Winehouse fan, I could see you being super excited for this, and I don't mean to yuck your yum, but just as a film fan, I kind of was like, and it doesn't look like anybody's doing a bad job in it.
No.
The lead girl is her name is Marissa Abella. She's playing Amy Winehouse. She looks good. I like that she's not a lookalike. I like when they hire people that are good actors. Like when you see a biopic and they look exactly like the person, you know that's not going to be a great performance because they hired a lookalike. So she doesn't look that much like her, but she resembles her. So she might do a good performance. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe this will make Amy Winehouse more popular. I feel like the Selena movie with J Lo, like, did a lot for her in America, at least, did a lot for her, like, continued legacy and, like, brought those songs to more people.
Well, you also have to remember about the Selena documentary or the Selena movie.
Yeah.
Is that came out like just a couple of years after Selena died. So
Yes.
that was like, she died that right at the time that album, her American spoken album was being
Yeah.
released. And then they basically kind of like got to work on the movie.
Yeah.
So it was just like this prolonged, like she died just as America was getting to know Selena. And
Yeah.
then, they really got to know her and J-Lo together with the movie. And it was like the perfect timing for that.
Yeah. Well, Vin, let's take a break and we'll come back with the chill session. We'll
Yeah.
talk about things that we care about. Welcome back to PCMC. That's Pop Culture Man Children. This is your podcast all about pop culture. That's movies, video games, TV, comics, animation, all sorts of stuff. The
Oh,
show.
breaking news from last we spoke.
What?
Vince McMahon resigns as the chair of a TKO group.
Oh my God, is this the first
He
time
is
in
out.
PCMC history we've had breaking news?
It's possible.
Something came in over the wire. Well, all
Yeah,
right. Well,
it came in over the wire.
good riddance to bad trash.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the chill sesh. This is the sesh where we chill and we just talk about what we've been, reading, watching, doing. Vin, what have you been chilling with? What have you been consuming?
I've been consuming kombucha, really getting a kombucha kick.
Oh, all right. I've never been into kombucha. Tell me about it. Sell me the cult of kombucha.
Okay,
And is
well,
this something
surprise, surprise,
Emilio got you
Emilio
into?
got me into, yes.
Of course it was.
Really, kombucha is supposed to be good for your gut health. It's got like live bacteria and culture. It's
Brother,
only
brother, you gotta have
I
kombucha.
know. No,
Next, he'll have you doing yoga. We love Emilio.
but don't be scared off by the fact that it's like, oh, live bacteria and stuff. It's like, no, you eat yogurt. Yogurt's got
What's
bacteria.
it taste
Like,
like?
is bacteria. Okay, so here's the thing with the taste. I
Okay.
was hesitant at first because I was like, what is this fucking shit gonna taste like? It tastes carbonated. It kind of tastes like a fruit cider.
Okay.
With like a little bit of like a vinegar tang to it.
Sounds great.
I know, don't be scared off by the vinegar. Like you do get used to it pretty quickly. But I would say like I've had basically like an apple kombucha one, and it tastes almost identical to like an alcoholic cider.
How long you been drinking it, and has it been helping your gut health?
It has, you definitely feel it. If you've been having gut issues or any sort of intestinal issues,
All us millennials have gut issues.
So basically, like this will clean your this with an improved diet will clean your gut right up. Like you
Okay.
will, it'll clean you out.
Okay,
I'll say
good.
that.
And you feel fresh and good.
Yeah, you feel refreshed.
Well, on a
And
similar
you don't
note.
drink like a whole thing. Like I just
Oh, you
drink
don't?
like, yeah,
Okay.
I usually just drink like maybe like half a bottle a day,
Okay.
like nothing crazy. Because it's some of it's expensive. Like there's a like I found a couple that like the store brand ones like Stop and Shop that are like a couple bucks. Those are
Yeah.
fine. I've started drinking those, but like the ones Emilio in typical Emilio fashion, the ones that he initially wanted me to get, that I got initially were like $5 each and like glass bottles.
Of
And I'm just
course.
like, this is, I can't sustain this. I gotta look for the
That's
cheaper option. Like,
fun. Good. Well, I'm glad you're chilling with something new and good. I have a similar thing I'm chilling with. Very similar. The Crunchwrap. What are your feelings on the? I know you and I have talked about Taco Bell many a time before.
I did notice Taco Bell now has a value menu again.
I've never tried the Crunchwrap before. And
Oh, really? Really?
yeah, this is my first Crunchwrap experience. And by God, I loved it.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
we've talked before, what's great about Taco Bell is they truly let you have it your own way. Not Burger King. Because you can change anything, you could sub anything, you can really build your own shit. They make it so easy, both on their own app and on DoorDash's app. So I like, I have a veggie version. I have, I do it without cheese and I do it without meat. And the best way to describe it is like imagine, I don't know how to describe it. There's a hard taco shell, like a regular taco shell in the middle, and then on the bottom, meat or beans, and then on the top, veggies, and then it's all wrapped up in a soft shell. And it's like a big old envelope of fucking carbs and amazingness.
Yeah, it's basically like a pita, like a like In the cheapest sense of words, a Mexican pita.
I just had one for dinner, and by God, I feel super full. So
Oh, it's
good.
filling. It's a nice little, it's a beefy little package.
See, I
And
always go for the same order. I always go for the I always get a regular taco. I mean, I always put beans instead of meat, but I usually go for the like the what do you call it? The Doritos shell. And then I go for a chalupa.
Okay.
But I was like, you know what? I want to try something different. Although I've had the pizza a few times. I like that. I was like, I've never tried the Crunchwrap. Let me go for it. And I like it so much better than the pizza.
Yeah, because the Crunchwrap is that's like their signature thing too. Like, I don't know what year they introduced the Crunchwrap, but it's become like their mascot.
Well, I don't know what I was sleeping on it, and shame on me.
Well, if we're talking about new fast food gimmicks, have you tried? I haven't had any of them other than yet, but Subway now has foot long sides.
I've not tried it, but I've heard tell of that.
Yeah, it's like you can get it. There's three of them. You can get a foot long pretzel, you can get a foot
Okay.
long churro, or a foot long cookie. And the cookie is like the real star of the show because it's more of like a cookie cake. Like it comes like
Oh,
you've seen it.
really?
It's kind of it comes like a little pan kind of thing. And it's basically like almost like a long cookie, like a warm cookie brownie kind of thing.
Are they actually a foot long? Because as we've all found out, like the foot long sandwiches are mo or something like
Yes.
9, 10 inches or something.
Yeah, it actually is a foot, but people are saying people my sources on the inside are
Oh,
saying that this may
you're close
be
personal friends with Jared.
oh God, no.
Don't
It's
put that
but he's
out
way on the
there.
outside of Subway at this point. But
Yeah, I know.
he apparently some parent company acquired Subway in the past 2 years, and that parent company also owns Auntie Anne's Pretzels, Finnabun, and a bunch
Oh.
of other stuff. So that's why you're seeing like the pretzels are specifically labeled as like Auntie Anne's Pretzels, and the churro is specifically a Cinnabon churro.
Oh,
So
okay.
people are saying that like you may see more of this wackiness in the future, where they may take other things that they own and try and incorporate
Well,
it into some of their other brands.
wasn't there a while where there would be subways that shared storefronts? Or am I thinking of, I know Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins have been doing that for a while. Weren't there like Subway KFCs or something like that? Or maybe it was Taco Bell
No, you're thinking
KFCs?
of you're thinking of Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, not Subway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you feel like, and I know that's always a public thing and you can look it up and see it, but don't you feel like it should be a much bigger deal when a giant corporation buys something like that? Shouldn't we all know about it?
Yeah, especially because like I heard that this company also owns Jimmy John's.
Oh, really?
So it's like, wait a minute, now you own two of the
Right, you own
major sub
the,
places.
right. You basically own an entire, you've made it, you've turned an oligopoly into a monopoly. It's like the Gap company owning Gap Banana Republic and Old Navy. It's like here are three different tiers of the exact same shit, just marketed in three different ways to three different economic demographics.
Yeah. Well, look, people gotta be smart shoppers. They gotta know what they're getting. Like that's the worst to me is that when the clothing companies do that shit, because it's like you literally could be going to just the Gap or the Old Navy at that
Right.
point, because what they're telling you without telling you explicitly is all the clothes are coming from the same factory. So like you could buy this shit at Banana Republic for like a $60 markup,
Yeah.
or you could just go to Old Navy and get the same bullshit.
Right. And there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, but nowhere do I think about it more than when I'm buying clothes. Because I just know, like, oh, some child suffered to make this.
Right.
Like, it's like so cheap because some poor person was exploited somewhere. What am I gonna do? Make my own jeans? I don't know. I don't know how to make. I don't know. I can barely sew.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm gonna make an iPhone. Like, what am I?
Yeah, I
Like, we
know.
all need a phone. Like, fine, I'll buy the phone. Like,
We have blood on our hands. Us filthy, filthy Westerners. What else have I been chilling with? Oh, have you this isn't specific, but do you know the channel Gaming Jaden Williams?
Gaming Jaden Williams.
Yeah,
No.
he's just a gamer. I think he's a what do you call it? A Steam kid? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure where he like streams his shit, but it's gamer stuff. But I watch a lot of his like reels, like short video stuff on I forget if it's YouTube or Instagram. But anyway, they tickle me pink because it's always the same thing. It's him, playing a driving game, and he's got the driving game behind him, and you see him, and he'll dress up like a dad, and he'll like drive recklessly, and he'll be like
Oh, see,
talking.
are these the videos where like he goes off the road and then it, like in the video he's like bouncing up and
Yes,
down and
exactly.
like, okay, I've
Every one of
seen.
them tickles me pink. And sometimes when they're crashing, he's like, "Oh, we're dead. We're dead. I'm so sorry. We're dead."
Yes, I do like this guy's stuff.
And the way he
I have
jostles
seen it.
around after the
Yeah.
crash is just so funny. I
Yeah, like
just
he sees the crash coming, he's like, oh, we're dead. We're dead. We're
Yeah,
dead.
it always, I mean, they're like 3 second videos, and it's the same formula. It's guy drives recklessly with complete abandon. Guy hits something and starts swerving out, and now feels responsibility, and then accept it. Oh, we're dead. We're dead. I've been enjoying those a great deal. Are you reading anything?
I am still going through a Star Trek trilogy called Destiny.
Star Trek
So I'm working
Destiny.
my way through those.
What time period is that?
It's actually kind of a time travel plot. So it's like with right after the next gen movies. And then also, like, there's parts of it that go back to like the Enterprise TV series.
Oh, interesting.
So it like jumps back and forth between those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been big into like the Star Trek novels recently.
Very nice.
I've been loving those. And at some point, I want to go back and read a couple of the like Star Wars books that I read when I was younger, like
The old
The New
stuff?
Jedi Order. Yeah, like the New
Yeah,
Jedi
yeah, yeah.
Order. Because I saw on Amazon there was a set of like the first three of those. And I was like, it was just like $20 or something. I think I'll let me pick that up, see if it holds up. See if I want to read about Chewbacca getting
Crushed
killed
by
by
a
a
moon.
planet. Yeah, crushed by a moon.
Yeah, for the last couple of years, I've been saying, like, oh, I want to reread Shadow of the Empire. Because that was such a big thing in the 90s. I mean,
Oh,
like, it
yeah.
was a book that had a video game. Like, a video game tie into a book and also an action figure line. Like, that's really fucking rare. A and it was sort of in the lead up to the re-release of the original trilogy. So Star Wars was kind of in the air again. It was an interesting time for Star Wars. But I remember loving it then.
Yeah, because and especially now because it's this weird one-off because it was supposed to. I guess like they hadn't confirmed that the prequels were coming. So it was going to be the start of this, like, okay, we're going to make these Star Wars events and they're not going to be connected to any movie. Like Shadows of the Empire, like you said, it was a book, it was a video game, it was a comic, it was toys.
Yeah.
It was like literally everything but a movie.
Yes, which is wild, and but it worked. It had appeal. It had wide appeal.
Yeah.
Oh, and the video game is like super fondly remembered. And yeah, you would say something?
Yeah, well, the video game, When was the last time you played the video game?
Oh, I don't. I a million years ago, I did. I watched a run through of it, like a year or two ago, just because I was like, I want to remember what it's look. I just wanted to
Yeah.
remember it. You forget like that early 3D, like how blocky it looks.
Well, I'm fine with the blocky look. They did something that I guess a lot of games probably did back then, where they hooked you with that first level. Because that first level, when you're on Hoth and
Yeah.
you're flying around and like catching the AT-ATs and whatever, like that's exactly what you want. And then the second level is like just you fucking running around on foot, and it's not nearly as fun. And you're not Han Solo, you're Dash Rendar.
I gotta say though, I love the train level. When you're on that train,
Really, you are in the minority.
it's brutal. It's hard.
Yeah.
And it ends with a brutal boss fight,
I was
IG-88.
just about to say, yeah, you fight like you beat that train level, and then immediately like you're on a fucking garbage dump with IG-88.
Right,
And you
right.
don't know where he's coming from, and like he kills you
Everything
immediately.
looks the same. It's super weird. God, I want them to remake that. They'd never do it though.
They should remake that.
But what's interesting was going back to the Child's Empire, that was really like a transmedia storytelling because the comics was different, covered different territory than the novel, and the video game covered different territory than the novel. The video game, like you said, is just Dash Rendar when he's just one of the characters in the book.
Right.
So it was kind of like you could consume it all together to get the full story. And what better sweet spot than between Empire and Jedi? Like
Oh, perfect.
that's a perfect spot for Star Wars. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with our obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by Vin Forte. This is our current obsessions. This is the media that we are currently that's sitting on our brain. Vin, what are you currently obsessed with?
What am I currently obsessed with? I am currently obsessed with, honestly, I'm currently obsessed with women's hockey.
Tell me about it.
Well, very recently, Women's Hockey League, National Hockey League, just got started up, the PWHL, Professional Women's Hockey League.
Okay.
And all of their games are free on YouTube.
Okay,
So
cool.
you can check them out. I think they're also on all the regional sports networks and stuff as well. But like for this first year, I think at least they're all on YouTube, and they've kind of been getting off to a hot start. The funny thing about it is none of the I think there's only like eight teams right now, just to start off, but none of them have any mascots or names. So
How did
all the
that?
teams are just like New York, Milwaukee, Boston,
Well,
because
that's
back
weird.
in November, well, here's why. Back in November, they came out and said, "Hey, we've got the names for the teams," and people unanimously like did not like the names, thought they were all way too generic. So instead of just pushing them through, they're just like, "Hey, look, we fucked up. We're gonna take this season to figure out better names." So for this first season, we're just going to use the name, like nobody's going to have names. It's just going to be New York, Boston, Florida. We're just going to call the team from where they are. And we'll basically revisit this. So the first season is going to run from like just January through like May. And then this first season is basically like a big trial run. Because then next season is going to be longer. It's going to start in like November and run through the beginning of the summer. And by
So, is
then
there a city that you're
they'll have a
rooting
better
for
name.
more? Is there like a like?
Well, New York, there's a New York team.
Okay, you like them.
Yeah.
So the how is the gameplay different in any way? Is it how is it
No,
different?
that was the big thing that people were sort of hoping for, that it would be as hard hitting as regular hockey, because I think there is still this stereotype that, like, oh, well, it's women's hockey, so like it's gonna be a
Right.
little more like dainty or whatever. But it's like, no, there's still checking and fighting. It's all the stuff you would expect from, the male side of hockey. Just, it's time, because the WNBA has seen a lot of growth in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And now, like, there's enough women and enough interest in the hockey version of that to, precipitate them having their own league. And like, this is
That's
kind of
cool.
like a great start for them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've never been a sports guy, but hockey was one of the only sports I ever could like watch because I don't know, I'm too dumb to understand how any game is played. But hockey is really very simple concept. You can watch it and get what's happening. Whereas like I don't know what's happening in baseball. Like I have no idea at any point what's happening in baseball. I'm like, "What? Why are we not doing anything now? What just happened?"
Yeah.
Hockey, I like, oh, there's these guys and those guys want to get past those guys and those, like, I get it. And it's
Right.
fast.
There's a puck. Yeah, I get the puck in the net. I got it.
And people hit each other. That's fun.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, my obsession for today is something I actually talked about on the last Philly episode in the Chill Sesh, and that's Columbo. I am
Ooh.
currently obsessed with Columbo. I got Peacock recently. And they've got all the Columbos on there. There's usually six or seven episodes a season.
Well, because
Because
isn't the deal with Columbo that, like, it's not really a show as we know it? It's more like from the 70s through to what, like the mid 90s or whatever? Like, they
It went
would
on for a
just do
while.
Columbo, they would do like Columbo specials.
Well, when it was airing originally, it was in a rotating time spot. So, like, you get one Columbo a month, and then on the other 3 weeks of that month, you'd get another thing that repeated. But none of the
Okay.
others are nearly as famous or well remembered as Columbo is. So, Columbo, like, would run like six for 6 months, and then, like, at another point, run like seven. There's 10 official Columbo seasons. But then even after that, into the night, even into the, his the last Columbo is in 2003. It
Oh,
went for a long
okay.
time, and they would later on they would just do like one-offs here or there.
Yeah.
Columbos are their runtime is 1 hour and 15 minutes, but with commercials they would run as 90 minutes, so they felt cinematic, and I fucking love it. I mean, what's not to love?
Wasn't there also a Lady Columbo?
There was a spinoff called Mrs. Columbo that the creators of Columbo had nothing to do with. First of all, it was weird because it was Kate Mulgrew from
Right, it's
Star
Captain
Trek.
Janeway.
Yeah, Star Trek and Orange is the New Black, who was way too young. She was way younger than Peter Falk. It, like, no way she was supposed to be his wife. So it was just weird because she was like in her 20s or something. But also, the creators of Columbo had nothing to do with it. I think whatever, somebody just used the name,
Okay, so
and
she never appeared in the proper Columbo show.
no. There's in one of the Columbo episodes, there's a reference where he's like, "Ah, there's some crazy bitch going around calling herself my wife." Anyway, like that's it. Like, but that was more a dig at the other show than canonizing it. It was just like, this is fucking stupid. You know, some people hypothesize that there was no Mrs. Columbo, that he just is constantly making shit up as part of his master detective work. And he would just go, ah, you know, my wife, she reads these books. Like, so, like, you know, there's no, like, there's an episode where they're on a cruise together and he's solving a mystery on a cruise ship. And the fucking, the wife is always like in the other room. Like, ah.
it's one of those.
Yeah, like, so it's like, well, you're on this cruise alone, Columbo. You've got nobody. But
Maybe I gotta get into Columbo.
do you
I
have
gotta.
Peacock?
I do have Peacock.
What did you get it for, may I ask?
I got it for the WWE Network.
Okay. I got it for the Ted show, the Ted, the talking teddy
Ted
bear. The,
Lasso. Oh,
no,
Ted.
not Ted Lasso. Yeah, no, the Ted teddy bear show, which I fucking loved. And I love those movies. But then I was just
Wait,
kind of
does it
like,
Ted? Does it Ted? Oh, wait, does it Ted show?
yeah, it's only 7 episodes because I think it costs way too much to do the bear. But it's I was talking about it in the last Fully. It reminds me a little bit of Alf because it's supposed to be,
Okay.
it's a prequel to the movie, so it's when the kid is a teenager. So it's like a teenager, his bear, and then like mom and dad, and it's like it's very like sitcom-y.
Okay. It was
It's
like
a lot of
young
fun.
Sheldon, but with Ted.
That's exactly what it's like. I heard they're doing some
Okay.
young Sheldon spinoff now of like Sheldon's brother or something.
What? I
Who
don't.
would have thought that the Big Bang Theory would be such
Yeah,
a
what is
franchise?
this is Bazingaverse they're creating?
I know. It's so crazy. I've seen barely any of Young Sheldon. And I've seen, I'd
No.
say, you know, I've seen some episodes of Big Bang, more than I'd like, more than I'd care to. It's hard to stay away from Big Bang.
Maybe I'll check out Ted. I do like Alf. It's
Well,
decent
I think
Alf.
that's on my brain because all of Alf is on Peacock too.
Okay.
So yeah, but yeah, it's got Alf vibes.
Is Ted as racist as Alf?
No,
Okay.
no. Ralph is sorry. Alf is only racist in the outtakes.
See, right. When the cameras aren't looking, that's when Alf thinks he can get away with
That's when Alf starts using the N-word.
it. Yeah. Oh boy, does he.
Remember the dad from Alf? Remember his sad trajectory?
Yeah, what was I, he's doing sexual things in a crack house,
Yeah,
like.
like this guy got caught in a like crack, like the first press he had in like 20 years. Someone like took pictures of him in a crack house, and they're like, "Oh, is that the dad from Alf?" And now that's all
Yeah.
anyone thinks about. But that guy is like, "Oh, remember that guy? He was like on crack and died young and super weird stuff." Well, by gum, I think we did it. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
We certainly did. Oh, my pleasure.
As Howard Stern would often say, we've said it all. We've said it all.
Oh, speaking of Howard Stern,
Tell me.
I have a bonus, not obsession, but this past week I watched it. It was on YouTube. Someone had uploaded the episode of the Howard Stern show on E, where Billy West is still there,
Yeah.
and it's one where they have John Kay from Ren Stimpy come in.
Oh, that's a creepy one.
It's creepy for things we know about him now, and also just like it's very tense.
Really? I don't remember the tension. What's the tension? Oh, because of Billy West.
Right, because remember that Nickelodeon kicked John Kay off Ren and Stimpy
Yeah.
and then gave the Ren voice to Billy West. So then Billy West was doing both voices.
Right.
And John Kay felt like, well, you should have given up your job in solidarity.
Right.
And Billy West's whole thing is like, I was just hired to do voices. It's like, what are
Right.
you, solidarity bullshit? Like,
And, but
if they
that's the
were like if
same.
they weren't gonna hire like if they
Yeah.
like they, if they weren't gonna give it to me, they were gonna give it to someone else.
Right,
And John
right.
Kay like started making all these like, oh well, they said that about in the Nazis too. It's like, this is a different situation,
Fucking.
John.
John Kay's
Like
such a
this is
piece of shit.
not
That's the same interview where he's like, yeah, I got an underage girlfriend.
Yeah, they bring up they're like, hey, a 16-year-old, and he's like, no, a little bit.
Boasting about his crimes.
Right, and then the whole time he's also trying to promote this new show he's working on that's like not nowhere near as good that he's like pitching to Fox.
I don't even remember
It's
what that was.
I don't either, and I watched it like 2 days ago. But yeah, it, that those early Howard Sterns. I don't know who paid for this, but like someone paid to have a special made in the past like 4 years. Where it's a roundtable discussion about the Stern Show with Jackie Martling, Stuttering John, and Billy West.
Wow. Top tier. Top
I
tier.
mean, I'm always down to hear what Billy West has to say, but it's just weird that
Yeah, I like Billy West a lot.
those three, like those three were going to get together at a round table, and it's just weird.
Let me ask you a question. In March, very soon, there's a new Ghostbusters movie coming out,
I have no desire to see it.
and I have great desire to see it. And there is Slimer's going to be in it. What do you think?
Okay.
What, and we don't know to what capacity. What if they brought back Billy West to voice Slimer? Would you
That would
then
be a
see
pretty
it?
that would be a pretty cool move. I'm still, you know where I'm at with this new Ghostbusters movie? If it gets like real rave reviews and people are like, no, like this is like ignore the last two movies, like go see this one, I will check it out. But that's the bar for me because I could not care less about this franchise. This franchise was supposed to be one movie. They squeaked out a second one. Was a brilliant idea to move into an animated show with, and then they were like, "Hey, we got to bring it back." And it's like, I don't know. I don't think anything that they've done so far in trying to revive this franchise has worked.
This has been well-trodden ground here. I really like the 2016 one with the female Ghostbusters. But you know what? I respect your opinion. You're a different age than me, so it's not like you're not as tapped into it as I am. Like nostalgia
Oh
is
yeah.
a serious drug. And like Ghostbusters is really important for like a certain group of people. I remember one thing happened once that really made me think about what I must look like as a Ghostbusters fan. Because it was when I was teaching a class, and I had a student who was like, he's a young adult. He was in his 20s. And he was like, "Did you see the trailer for the Dora the Explorer movie?" I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "I can't fucking wait." And I realized it's because he liked it as a little kid, and
Right.
now he's a grown up, but it still tapped into him. And I was like, "Oh, that's probably what I look like."
Yeah, that's like, there's some things that I will absolutely at least raise an eyebrow and be like, let me take a look at this over. But like, it's not the stuff that people a few years older than me would expect. Like, I don't have this huge reverence for Ninja Turtles. I don't have a, like, I'm fine with like if there's a cool Ninja Turtles movie, but like I just won't go gaga for like every little Ninja Turtles thing. Power Rangers, same thing. I know people like a couple of years older than me that are like super amped about anything Power Rangers, and to me it's just like if it's good, it's good, but I don't
Is
like,
there
and
anything
like
like when you were a little kid, was what was like the thing you was most into?
I mean, Star Wars was definitely up there, especially with the
Sure.
re-releases.
Sure.
So like Star Wars and Star Trek were big ones.
Yeah.
When I was younger, in terms of like cartoons on Saturday morning, like Batman, I'll
Yeah.
always be up for like a Batman thing,
Sure.
Spider-Man, X-Men, Thundercats,
Oh, so
if
you
they
okay.
ever.
Thundercats, that's one of those like 80s. That's often thrown in there with like Masters of the Universe and Transformers and stuff of that
Right,
sort of
and they
era.
had like sort of right. It had like a sort of a revival in the mid to late 2000, mid to late 90s.
Yes, yes, yes.
Dragon Ball Z and like the Dragon Ball franchise in general,
Okay, all
like
right, yeah.
I'll perk up for, even though I don't care for the new series.
Okay.
But yeah, like stuff like Transformers is a great example of something that I will not bat an eye over
Right,
because I
right,
don't
right.
have the nostalgia for, but. If they came out tomorrow and said, "Hey, we're doing something new with Beast Wars," I'd be like, "Show it to me, give it to me, let me see
Well,
what you're
didn't
doing."
they? Wasn't the most recent movie, didn't that get into Beast Wars stuff?
Kinda, it was more just like, "Hey, we use the names and the general ideas," but like it kind of didn't really have anything to do with Beast
Okay.
Wars.
Yeah, I've never been big on that franchise either. I remember when Bumblebee came out, everyone was like, "Oh, this is going to be the one that's really good. This is like E.T. with a Transformer." And I was like, "Oh,
Right.
okay, I'll go see it." And it was just the same shit. The last act ended up being the exact same shit as always. I was like, "All right, well, I was fooled."
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
but
Or
you know, but
like,
because it wasn't a
yeah.
thing for me as a kid. I know people that are super Transformers heads that like cried at the animated movie. So they're like, you know, they're totally into everything. All right. But
Yeah.
you know, we've gone long. This has been the longest obsessions we've ever done. And
Oh
we've got so much to talk about. Let's talk next week about Super Mario Wonder.
boy.
We end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.